Joining us today is Ronnie Cummins. He's National Director of the Organic Consumers Association. He speaks to us from Mexico. Ronnie, what's your take on this? Or do you think we can entrust the organic ideals to Walmart?
We're talking about the USDA. I'm sorry our connection was bad there for a minute.
Okay, did you hear me introduce you?
Yes.
Okay.
So your question was about the... Can we trust the USDA organic standards any longer?
Well, I'm specifically asking about the plans by Walmart to get more involved in selling organic foods. What effect do you think that will have on the organic, the production and consumption of organic foods?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it's already happening that as Walmart and the other food giants are getting into organic with a vengeance,
mm-hmm.
there's a greater consumer demand now than there is supply.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening is that these big companies like Walmart and Dean Foods are, their plan is to increase the supply of organic products by bending the rules on organic standards,
mm-hmm.
allowing practices such as factory-style farming to be allowed under organic.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing they're doing is outsourcing organic foods and ingredients from countries such as China, you know,
mm-hmm.
where the wages in the rural areas are at sort of slave labor levels and where the organic standards are dubious.
Mm-hmm. So that by the time something with an organic label reaches a Walmart shelf, it's no longer really organic, is it?
It's definitely not of the quality of what you would find buying directly at a farmer's market or in a legitimate natural food store or a cooperative. Walmart's business model, as everyone knows, is to drive the price down as low as possible that they pay for their products so that they can entice consumers with low prices. And, you know, the problem with organic or anything that you're trying to do in a manner which doesn't exploit labor and doesn't destroy the environment and produces a quality product is that if you drive the price down below the point at which it's possible to produce it the right way, then
mm-hmm.
you're not going to be getting, in this case, the organic integrity that you think you're paying for.
So things like living wages and environmental sustainability, fair compensation to farmers, that's unachievable at a base price.
Yes. I mean, right now, for example, approximately 65% of the organic milk in the United States is coming from two companies,
mm-hmm.
Dean Foods, which also owns Horizon
mm-hmm.
Organic, and Aurora Organic, which supplies the milk for private label brands. It's places like Safeway, at Wild Oats.
Right.
And unfortunately, this is coming from factory-style farms where the animals are intensively confined with no access to pasture.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, these calves have been brought onto these so-called organic factory farms from conventional farms, and these calves were raised exactly the same as any calf on a conventional feedlot. They are weaned on blood, fed slaughterhouse waste and genetically engineered grains, and injected or administered with antibiotics. So,
and at Aurora Dairy in particular, that was recently discovered that they weren't passing any real organic standard.
Right, and the same thing goes for Horizon, which controls 55% of the organic market. They operate their own 4,000 head feedlot in Idaho, and they're buying from farms that have as many as 10,000 cows intensively confined.
So you can't have an organic factory farm. Is that an oxymoron?
Yes, it is. I mean, in if you want to look at dairies, for example, you know, to preserve organic integrity, you got to treat the animals humanely. They have to have access to pasture. A significant portion of their diet needs to be grass or pasture forage. It makes a real difference in the milk or dairy products produced if the animal is grass-fed and raised organically as opposed to, you know, being intensively confined after being raised on a conventional farm.
Well, then Walmart really is misrepresenting what organic products are. Is there any way to put a divide then? If you just label something organic, it seems to me now it's going to cheapen the word organic once Walmart jumps in. Is there any way to separate what is truly organic from what's Walmart organic?
Yeah.
Well, what we're saying at the Organic Consumers Association is break the chains. You know, buy local, buy organic, mm-hmm. buy fair trade or fair made. If you don't shop at Walmart in the first place, you're not going to be confused about should I buy that unusually cheap so-called organic item. I think that's we've got to put pressure on these giant companies like Walmart to stop doing things the way they're doing them now, or else face, eventually bankruptcy, because the global alliance of consumers at the grassroots level is gradually going to withdraw their money from unethical companies and unethical practices. Walmart did approach us, the Organic Consumers Association, through back channels, asking us, well, what could we do so that the organic community would approve of what we're doing? And we basically told them, well, everything you're doing now is wrong. You'd have to have a totally new business model. Mm-hmm. But I said, if you'd really like to show some good faith, sign contracts with farmers and ranchers across the country who aren't organic but who would like to go organic, you know, and pay them a premium price so that they can go through that three-year period and come out on the other end organic. Don't just demand more milk mm-hmm. at a time when there aren't enough organic dairies in the country and when our government refuses to help family farmers make the transition to organic by giving them, you know, our taxpayer subsidies instead of giving the subsidies to the giant factory farms and exporters, which is what's going on now.
But it sounds like that's not the answer Walmart wanted. I think it sounds like what they were asking was, how can we make consumers believe mm-hmm. that we're on yeah. their side, not that we want to change anything about our business model.
Did you get yeah. any sort of response from Walmart at all, or any indication that they didn't?
No,
the
only response we've gotten is, you know, Walmart is now under pressure by a lot of different public interest and environmental organizations and a lot of community groups around the world. So you'll notice that Walmart's paying a lot more attention to what I call greenwashing as of late, you
yeah.
know, policies on recycling and other things that don't directly impact their bottom line, and trying to make it appear as if they're becoming an ethical company. But in reality, it's the, you know, it's the same old company, the same old practices. And I think we've reached the end of this Walmartization process. If we don't change our buying habits and change public policy, we're not going to have any stores left besides the Walmarts.
Well, Nathan, you were telling me earlier that you came across some information that Walmart was actually infiltrating the blogosphere by propping up bloggers to write environmentally friendly information about Walmart.
Yeah, I was just wondering, have you seen anything like that regarding the organic food end of the Walmart business? Do you know that if there are any online folk that are pretty much putting out Walmart's press releases on this and making it their own idea?
Well, Walmart hasn't said a lot publicly about organic, except they mentioned at their shareholders meeting last year that they intend to be the global market leader in organics. And then their press release a couple of days ago where they said they're going to double the amount of mm-hmm. organic products on their shelves. So far, they understand that this is it's key to their new image that they're trying to develop, where they're trying to reach out to middle class
mm-hmm.
and well-educated, green-minded, health-minded consumers. And so it's important that they don't make any missteps, but they're certainly making lots of missteps in regard to this factory farm dairy situation, and we're about to expose them and the other chains in about 2 weeks with a new national campaign.
Oh, really? What's the focus of that, or how are you getting the message out?
For the first time ever, we're going to call on organic consumers to boycott certain organic products.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We're going to start off with the products that are coming from factory farms where there's intensive confinement of the farm animals, and ask consumers to put pressure, stop shopping in the retailers that are selling their private label products from factory farms, and
That would seem like,
if possible, real organic.
It would seem like the only thing left to do in the face of all of the changes that are happening at the bureaucratic level to undermine, just completely strip away the real organic standards federally.
Yes, and, you know, but I think we also have to recognize how far down this road of Walmartization and corporate takeover of the food supply that we are.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned earlier, 65% of all organic milk right now is coming from these two companies
mm-hmm.
that are, utilizing factory farms. Walmart already sells 19% of all groceries in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
They claim they're going to sell over 50% of all groceries in the United States within a decade or so.
They also sell. They're the greatest supplier of organic milk. Am I correct?
Exactly. They claim to be the biggest seller in the country, and a bit of that organic milk is coming from Dean Foods subsidiary Horizon Organic. It's going to require consumers to not only vote with our pocketbooks for real organic and real fair trade, real sustainability, but also we're going to have to change public policy. I mean, we are going to have to change our $20 billion a year agricultural subsidy program to green and make our food system and fiber system organic. I mean, among other things, we can't afford the greenhouse gases that industrial agriculture and long-distance food transportation are pumping into the environment. If we don't turn around our food system and our farming system as well as our utilities and transportation, we're basically dooming the next generation and the following to a very scary future.
Ronnie, are you optimistic about that? I mean, what sort of mechanisms are in front of us that will actually challenge all of that? I mean, myself personally, it sounds impossible to reverse that trend.
Well, the most optimistic thing is that global civil society, the global grassroots, are much more aware and are starting to get organized. And the United States, the economic elite that run our country and that seem to be able to tell Congress what to do, cannot operate in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's going to be more and more pressure coming globally as well as from the U.S. People are just waking up to the fact that, you know, we're on a runaway train to disaster. And, yes, the things we do in our personal lives, the kind of car we drive or don't drive or the kind of food we eat makes a difference. But we have to wrest back control from this fossil fuel lobby and, in particular, in the military-industrial who control our country right now, control the government, control the mass media. We're going to have to take back control and democratically organize the alternatives. But part of that is we got to walk our talk. We've got to think every time we pull out our wallet and vote. Vote with our ethics, vote for our ideals. And, you know, simultaneously we'll be voting for our health and better public health.
And I think one way to do that, as you mentioned earlier, is to back away from the organic label specifically, perhaps, and move toward local buying. Can you talk a little bit more about that and how consumers can get walking down that path?
I think that we need to see that there are various types of organic. There's grade B, which is what the USDA typically is promoting, but there's the real organic, which is locally and regionally produced for local and regional markets where there's fair trade or fair trading involved, where it's a healthy product. We also have to get away from eating so many convenience foods and highly processed foods and realize that, you know, if your reason for buying organic is to help the planet and to help your own health, then you need to have a diet which is healthy, which is based on, you know, a lot of fruits and vegetables and whole foods and so on, not a bunch of organic convenience foods.
And when you buy local and regional, you instantly avoid the problem of working with a global retailer and a global commodity. It takes it out of the realm of being a commodity entirely.
Exactly. And I mean, obviously, the United States is a big place, and we're going to have to rebuild our food and fiber infrastructure across the country. 60 years ago, it was easy for people to buy local. That's mainly what was available. Now it's harder in certain parts of the country. Where I live most of the time in northern Minnesota, for example, we have a short growing season, and we're definitely going to have to import certain foods from other parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to keep this all in perspective, that we need to rebuild a local and regional food system, because we're liable to absolutely need it even before people realize. The average supermarket in the United States has 3 or 4 days' worth of food on the shelves. If something like the bird flu were to erupt,
mm-hmm.
a company like Walmart that gets 71% of their products from China would be in bad shape. When you look around, this Walmartization is actually permeating the entire economy. So we better start thinking about these things, better start thinking about the fact in 10 years it's going to be too expensive to transport food across the country in mm-hmm. diesel belching tractor trailers. So it's time to start making the changes now.
We're speaking with Ronnie Cummins. He's the National Director of the Organic Consumers Association. Ronnie, what about the people who do shop at Walmart for their daily needs, who aren't in the middle class, who, you know, as we all know, are actually products of the Walmartization of the economy? What are their choices as far as getting healthy organic food that may be out of their reach economically? What do you think?
Well, I mean, the way to be able to afford organic food is to make changes in your purchasing patterns and also in your, cooking habits.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone can afford bulk, whole organic food. They can really improve their diet and their health, but it's going to take making some changes like going back to more traditional ways of cooking from scratch, having diets that are based more on whole grains and beans and oatmeal and stuff like that that are quite cost competitive,
mm-hmm.
eating in season, finding farmers markets. They're always going to be cheaper than Walmart, and even Walmart's organics will never be as cheap as buying directly from farmers.
And I know.
So there are ways that we can, live healthy on a budget, and really we have to do that.
I know my local farmers market actually in Santa Ana takes food stamps, and some of the Orange County farmers markets also take food stamps. I don't know.
Yeah,
is that
increasingly around the country? And obviously this is part of public policy here. Again, in the waning days of the last congressional session, while Congress was maintaining gigantic tax subsidies for big corporations and wealthy people, you know, they were cutting food stamp allocations.
Exactly.
Now they're talking about getting rid of food commodities.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to work together, the organic community, the social justice community, inner city neighborhoods, to get justice. And, you know, if we change government policies, take away the subsidies, these so-called cheap foods that Walmart sells will be exposed for what they are, which is they're actually quite expensive
mm-hmm.
in terms of the damage to the environment, the cost to our health, and the way we have to pay for them through our taxes with subsidies.
I think on the bright side, I do see that over the last 10 or so years, a sort of substructure of community, I hate to overuse that word, community, but emerging in the face of this global agriculture, where there's less and less bureaucracy. People are just kind of growing things themselves and getting to know each other and getting along that way.
Yeah, and we've seen at least in one country, Cuba, that mm-hmm. Even when all the oil got cut off and when they weren't prepared for it, within 10 years they were able to, you know, feed a nation of 10 million people with organic agriculture. And I think, the city of Havana, which has 5 million people, it's got 40,000 backyard gardens and community mm-hmm. gardens right now that are supplying over half the food for the city.
Mm-hmm.
These are some lessons that are probably going to come in handy when we have the big oil crunch.
Right.
And other global disasters. We're going to have to get back to the way we were for over 9,000 years, which is, you know, organic farming and animal husbandry.
Low scale.
With the basis being local and regional production for local and regional markets.
Nathan, do you have anything to add?
No, actually not. I'm just sitting here listening and enjoying myself.
It looked like your brain was working a little bit.
Well, you probably noticed it not working is what you were noticing there. So I'm still back on the boycott. Actually, I'm fascinated with that. How can our listeners keep track of that other than we'll post it at our website at KCI Talk but as far as keeping more abreast of it, what can they do?
Yeah, Organic Consumers Association has a giant website that's like a daily newspaper on all these issues, and you can tune in anytime. Organic Consumers. .org, and our newsletters are free. You can sign up for those, and within less than 3 weeks, there's going to be a lot of publicity out across the country about this factory farm organics and how consumers are going to start boycotting these products.
Do you have a kickoff day right now for that campaign?
I think it's going to be around March 23rd, 24th,
right.
In there.
And very good.
All right. Thank you so much, Ronnie Cummins, for joining
us
on the Politics of Food.
All right.
Have a good afternoon there.